I don't have any audio. No. Yeah, I hear it faintly, but as if I'm listening through your mic. All right, are we back? All right, welcome back to the radio program, everyone, the Political Cesspool, third and final hour tonight, August 22nd, 2009, and we're going to do something a little bit different here during tonight's third hour. I jealously guard all the radio time I can get, and jealously guarding it, we do each and every minute live on the air, but I came across a story out of Texas this week, a story that I blogged about, and to give you the gist of it, by the year 2013, all of the Texas school books, if this story is accurate, will be rewritten. And taking out of the history books will be men like Davy Crockett and Sam Bowie and Sam Houston and so on and so forth. All of the true heroes of Texas, the Confederate heroes of that great Republic of Texas, the Confederate state of Texas, they're all going to be gone, vacated from the history books. And in their place will be a bunch of Hispanic people that I've never heard of before. And of course, so-called heroes of the civil rights movement. Well, I saw this story and was absolutely outraged and thought about the damage that that will do with all of these kids who don't know better reading that that is the history of the state of Texas, that the state of Texas is no better than these race hustlers and charlatans. Well, we do have an accounting of the true history of the civil rights movement on this radio program. And back in July of 2008, just over a year ago, we had the opportunity to sit down with a man by the name of Drew Lackey. He was a police officer in Montgomery, Alabama. He was the man pictured in the iconic photo fingerprinting Rosa Parks when she was arrested. And he wrote a book about his experiences during that tumultuous time called Another View of the Civil Rights Movement. And Bill Rowland and I sat down and interviewed Drew Lackey live on the air in the Political Cesspool last year. This was before we were picked up by the network, before we were members of the Liberty News radio family, and before we gained so many new listeners that have joined us over the course of the past year. So in response to the story out of Texas, I wanted to play this part of this interview for y'all. The actual interview is about 40 minutes long. You won't be able to hear it all tonight. You can go to our archives, but you will be able to hear some of it. We'll pause it when we go to commercial breaks over the course of this next hour and resume at the end of that break exactly where we left off. But first, the introduction of Officer Drew Lackey by Bill Rowland. Let's hit that tape if we can.
Everyone knows that the media and liberal historians and most public schools, private schools, colleges treat the civil rights movement as literally a holy crusade, as a spotless event of righteousness in American history, where everyone was a martyr or a saint, and all of the people involved in the civil rights movement were figures of moral superiority over the rest of the country. Now, Drew Lackey knows better. And, you know, I was looking over Drew Lackey's background here in his book. And, I mean, if you want to read about someone with an impressive background, contrary to the stereotype of the Southern law enforcement officer as being a pot-bellied, drooling semi-moron, you know, here's Drew Lackey, was in the Marine Corps in World War II in the South Pacific, policeman from 1948, and started his police career in 1948. And he went on to go to different institutes for his training, and he was thoroughly trained in fingerprinting, firearms identification, and so forth. He went to the FBI National Academy in Washington, D.C., and Quantico, Virginia. He was promoted from lieutenant to captain and attended Northwestern University from 1961 to 62. He was awarded a diploma in police administration. He was appointed assistant police chief in 1962 and was placed in charge of all the outside field forces, and he was promoted to police chief in 1967. He then went on to get a law degree from Jones Law School. So this is a man who, you know, has had incredible training and absolutely first-rate training as a police officer, then to go on and get his law degree. This is someone who, as a police officer, showed utter and absolute integrity in his job. And, you know, as I was looking through this book, I read that more than anything else, and the priority for Drew Lackey and the other policemen in Montgomery was maintaining peace and order. They were not doing their job if they were not keeping peace and order. So they were not following civil rights activists around, whacking them on the head with billy sticks and throwing them in jail for no reason. Their main purpose was to keep the peace, and they arrested a large number of Klansmen and other opponents of integration and the civil rights movement as well. So it was not the one-sided story of the saintly civil rights activists against the police and the whole Southern establishment. Officer Lackey was doing everything to do his job with integrity and with honor. And I think his book certainly points that out. He, does make mention of the fact that the civil rights movement was about provoking the police, as it was in so-called, much more so than in conducting so-called non-violent civil disobedience. And what Drew Lackey clearly demonstrates in his book is that they were very much for violence in order to carry out civil disobedience. So he actually had several interviews with Martin Luther King. He actually ended up, there's not a photograph of it, but he did also fingerprint Martin Luther King after he was arrested in Alabama. He mentions that at no time did they ever resist arrest or cause any problems. But clearly, the civil rights movement was in motion and was being propelled by violence and by communist infiltration and influence. And he's very, very precise about pointing out who these communists were and what they were up to. So unlike the accepted view of history that the civil rights movement was a noble and glorious cause of saints and holy men, in fact, it was being conducted by communists, and it was a ruse and a deception from the very beginning. And that is what I'm sure we'll find out more from Officer Lackey. We'll find out more about that from Officer Lackey when he comes on, which will be in just a few minutes, James.
He's coming up quick, ladies and gentlemen. And again, what other program but the Political Cesspool Radio Show is bringing you guests like Drew Lackey? You know, Turner Network Television, TNT, TBS, that the family, Ted Turner's outfit, had contacted Lackey, as it says in the back of his book here, which I'm holding. His book is, of course, entitled Another View of the Civil Rights Movement, as remembered by Drew Lackey. And this is a man, obviously, Bill, as you've mentioned, lived through it all, saw it all firsthand. He was a major player in this.
This is a real historical figure we have on
the real historical figure. I mean, these are the kinds of people that, you know, in 20 years, you wish you could go back in a time machine and have the opportunity to meet in their element, where you're going to be hearing from him live. And I think this is, I couldn't have said it better myself, Bill, a true historical figure here, as big as anyone in the civil rights movement, this guy was. And but anyway, Turner contacted him, as it says in the back of his book, for an interview. But because Drew Lackey painted a negative portrayal of the so-called civil rights activists while painting a positive portrayal of the police force, that was, believe it or not, big surprise, completely edited from the final cut of what they eventually aired.
Well, this has been going on since the civil rights movement was underway. The media and the press glorified and glamorized the civil rights movement and vilified the police and the people in the South. They were never given the opportunity to express an alternative view of a movement that was literally bringing fire, ruin, destruction to cities in the South and elsewhere in the country.
Well, unlike Turner Television, the Political Cesspool is going to let you hear from Drew Lackey live and uncensored.
Officer, I say once again, Officer Lackey is the officer in the picture fingerprinting Rosa Parks, the famous picture that is in every public school book and many college texts in this country and has become one of the most famous photographs in the United States. And certainly, Officer Lackey, we read your extensive and impressive biography over the air just a minute ago, And so I think everyone knows who you are, but we'd love to welcome you to the show. We are pleased, honored, and privileged to have you on the air with us. Officer Lackey, welcome to the Political Cesspool.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to be with you.
We're going to pause it right there. We have set the table with an extensive introduction of Drew Lackey. This was an interview originally recorded back in July of 2008, last year on the Cesspool. We're doing something we don't typically do tonight, and that's play a previously recorded segment on this tonight's live show tonight, this August 22nd, but it's a real treat. You're not going to want to miss it, and we're doing it for a reason, and I'll remind you of that when the Cesspool continues right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Saturday evening, August 22nd, I posted a blog entry to thepoliticalcesspool.org that was talking about how they are planning by the year 2013 to completely erase the memory of all the true heroes of Texas out of the history books and replace them with heroes, so-called heroes of the so-called civil rights movement. And because that just rubbed me the wrong way in such a magnificent manner, I felt it incumbent to go and play for you tonight, revisit an episode of the Political Cesspool that we taped back in July of last year, of 2008, with Officer Drew Lackey. Now, in the last segment, you heard Bill Rowland and I give him a very extensive introduction, a well-deserved introduction. But now let's hear from the man himself as we continue on with Officer Drew Lackey tonight in the Political Cesspool, straight from our library of broadcast archives. Let's hit it.
Well, as I was saying earlier, the civil rights movement was hardly the saintly march and holy crusade that has been portrayed by the school books and by the media over the years. And you've written this book, Another View of the Civil Rights Movement. In brief, what is your view? What was the view that you had back in the 1960s while the South was being put through the civil rights movement?
Well, my view was that this so-called civil rights movement headed by Martin Luther King was really a farce. He was using the civil rights issue to raise money and further his cause, and have the parties and do his womanizing throughout the country. And in my opinion, he was more interested in tearing America down than he was with the plight of his own people.
Well, now, Officer Lackey, when Rosa Parks was arrested for violating the segregation laws in Alabama, she did this, as most people know now, it was an orchestrated and a staged event, but she refused to give up her seat on the bus. But we don't really know anything about the man who she refused to move for this man. Who was this man, and why was he trying to take that seat in particular? I think you mentioned this to us at the convention in Alabama.
Well, he was, I don't have his name, but he was an elderly man, and, you know, feeble, and he couldn't stand too good, and really needed to sit down.
So she wasn't being bullied, in other words, by somebody trying to provoke her into civil disobedience. This was a legitimate reason for her to give up her seat to an old man who was obviously at least semi-disabled.
That's correct.
Well,
that's right.
Now, let me ask you, before Rosa Parks' arrest, had any city, you know, Montgomery, Birmingham, any city had problems with blacks violating the segregation codes like that? Or did this just suddenly come out of nowhere? That is, she suddenly is arrested and this seems to just take fire and all of a sudden it's a big civil rights issue.
Well, to my knowledge, we didn't have any problem. Now, prior to Rosa Parks' arrest, we had two other women that were arrested for the same violation. One was arrested in March of 1955, and then the other one was October of 55, and then Rosa was in December of 55. Of course, we all know that she was handpicked. She was the secretary of the NAACP here in Montgomery. She had lunch with her attorney, Fred Gray, the day that she was arrested, and she attended the Commerce School in Tennessee, you know, where Martin Luther attended and Abernathy and others. So it was a hand-picked deal from the word go.
Well, of course, other events came out of that, and as you told us, that actually the picture that's on your book, the famous picture, that was not taken after her arrest for taking the seat on the bus, but was actually taken because of her participation in the Montgomery bus boycott. What was she doing to get arrested during that boycott?
We had a law in the statute books about, you know, boycotting a business or a transportation system, and she was one of the 90 people that was involved and indicted for violating the boycott law. The deputy sheriff at Montgomery County, the fingerprint man, he called me and asked me would I be willing to help him the next day because they had these 90 people coming in, and I agreed to go up and help him, and that's where when they took that picture.
Well, I was reading in your book, it always seemed interesting to me that Martin Luther King and some of the other civil rights activists, some of the other civil rights leaders, seemed to be only one phone call away from the White House or from people like Bobby Kennedy. It seemed that they had access to the highest offices of power when they needed it, and yet in the South we were struggling against riots and violence caused by these people. What is your opinion on that? Why do you think they had such ready access to John Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, and Bobby Kennedy?
In my opinion, they were helping back this movement, and you're correct, they had direct line to Bobby Kennedy, Lyndon Johnson, and President Kennedy. During the Freedom Rider episode that happened here in Montgomery, I picked up John Siegenthaler out of the street and the hospital about two blocks away and got him to the hospital. And he immediately called Bobby Kennedy at Hyannis Port. And he had a list in his pocket of all the Freedom Riders that was on that bus. So Bobby Kennedy and them were behind it, helped sponsor it and see that it was, followed up.
Well,
Officer Lackey, it's again to reiterate what an honor it is to be able to talk with you today. This is again, Bill, and for everyone listening around the world today to our broadcast, the ability to speak with someone.
There again, ladies and gentlemen, I beg your pardon. We're going to pause it right there again because we have a commercial break coming up. Before I ask that question back from that interview, we're going to take a time out here to go to this break. But I want to ask you this rhetorical question of you. That's the true history of the civil rights era. Now, how much of that history, the real history, do you think will be in these history books in Texas and elsewhere? We have got to remember our heroes, and we have got to not allow to be made false heroes of people who were communists and hustlers and people who were anti-American, and those are the people that Drew Lackey is talking about, and we're going to hear more from him right after this break. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program this Saturday evening, August 22nd. I'm your host, James Edwards. And I ask you again, what show other than ours are you going to hear true history from the legends that lived it, men like Officer Drew Lackey, who was telling us what the civil rights, so-called civil rights movement, was really all about, and you're getting facts that you're never going to hear on the History Channel or read about in these new so-called history books that are being sent out to all of the schools in Texas. Only the Political Cesspool has the courage to bring to you on the AM and FM airwaves the real truth of the matter, be it contemporary issues or issues of historical antiquity. But you know what? Our broadcast archives are littered with diamonds such as this. If you are a new listener to this program, familiarize yourself with the broadcast archives of the Political Cesspool radio program dating all the way back to 2005. There you will find any number of hidden treasures such as this broadcast archive that we're airing now, featuring Officer Drew Lackey of the Montgomery, Alabama Police Department of the 1960s. We'll continue it right now. Let's go back to the tape, Officer Drew Lackey.
Who was a first-hand witness of this history in the making is an opportunity very rarely afforded to anyone, particularly of a historical, an aspect of history that's so important. And Officer Lackey, I want to ask you about some of the media propaganda of the time. And I know you mentioned this in your book. I had the opportunity to, of course, buy this book from you in person in Alabama a couple of weeks ago. I have read it. And you address in your book many things surrounding the so-called civil rights movement, but one of which I always thought was so incredible was the fact that the so-called civil rights activists were the ones that were the peaceful demonstrators, and then, you know, according to the network news footage of the time, these peaceful black activists would come into town, and the mean-spirited police officers would unleash the hounds and the water hoses and everything else on them. Is that the way it was, or was the truth of the matter a little bit differently than what people would have seen on television?
Well, it was a lot different than what you've seen on television. I mean, this civil rights movement attracted every black criminal that you can think of, revolutionaries, and every thug that you would come in contact with. And they would curse the police, spit on the police, do everything they could to try to incite a riot. And see, Martin Luther King, he used what I call the big lie technique. He'd go around saying he was preaching nonviolence, but violence followed him everywhere he went. Now, you've never heard of King ever chastising any of you rioters and looters and that happened all over this country. And I can't find anywhere in the Constitution that gives these people the right to burn, loot, and do the things that they did, and be protected under the so-called civil rights banner.
Officer Lackey, excellent answer, by the way, and that is, of course, how I knew it to be, stock footage notwithstanding. But were you and the entire City of Montgomery Police Department, was there a very real threat that these activists, so to speak, would burn down the city? I mean, do you think that was their intention, and would they have gotten away with it if you had not acted accordingly?
That was their intention, to come in and burn the town down. Now, I believe if we hadn't took the action that we did, this would have happened. But we decided that we took an oath to protect the lives and the property of this city and use that force necessary. Now, it was unfortunate that we killed a couple of arsonists that were teenagers. But we had no way of knowing their age. One of them was 16, one 17. After that happened, we got a lot of calls that they were going to come in by the busloads and burn the town down. And, of course, I let them know that we was going to use that force necessary to protect our city, and that they could leave like those other two in a box.
Well, now, Officer Lackey, I notice in your book you talk also about not only the arrests of troublemakers in the civil rights movement, but also Klansmen and other troublemakers who were opposing integration and opposing the civil rights movement, and that doesn't seem to be covered very much by the history books or by the media either, that you were not partial when it came to stopping lawbreakers.
No, that is correct. The news media didn't give us hardly any coverage on that, and we had to make some arrests of Klansmen, you know. Our job was to keep law and order, and we couldn't pick and choose, you know. We got very little coverage, you know, in regards to that.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Freedom Riders, who they were, where they came from, and some of their behaviors while they were under your jurisdiction or on your watch. What was the Freedom Rider, the whole Freedom Rider situation? Why, when they came to town, what did you, you know, discover about them?
Well, they were very belligerent, and it was apparent that they were, you know, they were looking for, to have some conflict with the police or with other people. Their mannerisms and their speech and everything indicated that they, you know, wanted to stir up a conflict. See, King, this is one of his tactics that I think he trained his people to do, was to have these conflicts between the police and the demonstrators or civil rights people and so forth. And then when it was all over, he's going to blame the police for causing the riot.
Then he would charge police brutality when you put the riot down or brought order back to the city.
Yeah, this was his favorite police brutality. And if you follow the go back to Fidel Castro down in Cuba, he started using the same technique in Cuba when the communists were taking over Cuba. And of course, Martin Luther King was knee-deep with the Communist Party. They came into Montgomery. We knew who they were when they came in, and we usually put a tail on them, followed them, and then we did have some luck with the black leadership talking to them about getting these people out of Montgomery. They wasn't there to help them, you know.
Well, you actually met with Martin Luther King at one point, didn't you, about, coordinating security or trying to prevent some of these problems?
Yeah, I had a meeting with him, and I had a friend of mine over the black pharmacist, and he set up a meeting, and I discussed with King, some things that we needed to do and he needed to do. And at first he turned down any security from us. And then he changed his mind before I left. And I told him we could like to give him security.
All right, we're going to take one more break there, ladies and gentlemen. Going to pause it right there. We got to go to another commercial break. We'll pick up this interview with Officer Drew Lackey from our broadcast archives directly where we left it off when the final segment of the Political Cesspool continues right after these words from our sponsors. I'm your host, James Edwards, and I'll be back with you in just a bit.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, we truly have been immeasurably blessed to have been able to bring this show to you every night for the past 5 years, and it'll be our five-year anniversary on October 26th. October 26th, 2004 is when it all started, and since then, we have had so many great interviews, and as I said in a previous segment, you've got to go and familiarize yourself with the complete catalog of our library of broadcast archives. They're available to you at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I only can hope that the next 5 years of this program are as rich in talent as the previous five in terms of the guests we have had on air. Go to our website, take a look at our guest list, and go and dig through those broadcast archives, and you will find interviews like the one we're hearing now with Officer Drew Lackey, a man who, as the Barnes Review says, puts history into accord with the facts about those not-so-saintly civil rights agitators. And we're not going to be able to hear the complete interview. Only a few minutes left, but when we cut it off here before we go off the air and I wrap it up with a few final thoughts in a few moments, I encourage you to go back to the archives and listen to it in its entirety. That and any of the other great interviews we've got available to you at thepoliticalcesspool.org by going back. And, of course, this interview with Drew Lackey was originally conducted back in July of 2008. I hope you are enjoying it as much as I am enjoying bringing it to you again as we deviate from the beaten path and do something we've really never done on Liberty News Radio, and that's play a segment of our show from the broadcast archives. But anyway, enough said about that. Let's go right back to the interview Bill Rowland and I conducted with Drew Lackey last year. Let's hit it.
Guarantee 100%, but we could cut down the odds on it. And he admitted that he could not control, all of his people. That he had some people in there that was going to get out of land and so forth. And he said, I can't control all my people.
Well, I see here you have a copy of a newspaper article from that time where, Martin Luther King, who was preaching peace and nonviolence actually tried to get a permit for a gun.
Yeah, he tried to get a permit for a pistol, and of course he was turned down. And the so-called peaceful movement was not what it was cracked up to be. I mean, these people were out to stir up trouble, and this is the way that he got the sympathizers and money coming into his organization was having conflict. They'd be marching on our streets, sidewalks. The males would break off sometime and go relieve themselves on a white person's lawn.
that sounds about right.
If that ain't that's trying to have a conflict there. That, if it was my house, I'd be coming out of there with a shotgun.
Well, most normal people would. And is this what led you, Officer Lackey, to write your book? We were talking earlier about another historical aspect and the importance that books and eyewitness testimony play. Is this what you wanted people to understand? I mean, well, let me rephrase the question and ask it in this manner. Why is it important to you that 60 years after the fact, people understand the truth about the civil rights movement? Let me ask you that way.
Well, after I retired from the police department, I went to work with the state and put in 30 years there. But to read and hear these people talking about, how great King was and all this stuff, and not have any negative stuff printed against him, I decided it's time to unveil,
But yours is more than just, and it's so well written, and it's an easy read, and it's just chock full of important historical eyewitness testimony. But much more than the propaganda that one would read about King, yours is an actual factual document, am I right?
That is right. That is correct. And you see, Coretta King had those FBI files and tapes sealed to 2027.
And Bill, I'll ask this to you and Officer Lackey. Do you think that in 2027 they'll even be released?
I don't think it will. I've tried to get in there and have them released, and I hadn't had any luck on that, and I don't think they will be released. If we can get them released now, you could see a lot of these politicians running for cover.
Oh, a lot of the politicians would run for cover. Well, the standard excuse for not releasing his the files on King was that it would ruin his reputation. I think that's what Coretta Scott King said when she testified before Congress about doing that, sealing the records. But you say that many politicians would run for cover too.
Oh, yeah, these politicians, these liberal politicians and the liberal news media, they flocked to him, and he more or less had them eating out of his hand. It's sickening when you see it happen, that these politicians are running over each other to try to get to him and, do their thing. And every year when they have that march across Edmund Pettus Bridge, you'll see them over there, lined up arm in arm, these politicians, to get in on the act, I call it.
Well, now, They certainly, as a matter of fact, today it's almost like bragging you won the Congressional Medal of Honor if you can say that you marched with Martin Luther King. But certainly those people, when they were there and among King's stooges and thugs, must have seen some of the same behavior that you saw. Did any of them, did you ever have any of them come to you and say, boy, I was wrong about Martin Luther King, or I was wrong about this civil rights movement, this is a bunch of barbarians and thugs?
I never had a one of them come to me and say that.
And John Siegenthaler, who you mentioned earlier, was actually the editor at a Tennessee newspaper. And you, I would venture a guess to say you might have saved his life. Did he ever come back and thank you for helping him out of what was really a tough situation at the bus station?
No, he didn't. See, he was laying in the street by a car, and I got another officer helping to pick him up. He had a large bruise behind his right ear, and he didn't know where he was when we picked him up, and we put his arm over his shoulder and took him to the hospital, and we kept filling him in where he was, Montgomery, Alabama, you know, and then he got to the hospital. He was going to refuse treatment, and the doctor there handed me that sign, some papers. Then he wanted to go on a different name, and they would, you know, he wouldn't do that. And he asked to use a phone. That's when he called Bobby Kennedy at Hyannis Point.
Well, that's fascinating that the call he makes in the emergency room of a hospital is to Bobby Kennedy. It's almost scary to think about people who are that crazy.
Well, we're going to have to stop it right there because we're flat out of time, but I will tell you that the best of that interview was still forthcoming, but thankfully you can access it free of charge, on demand, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at thepoliticalcesspool.org. You heard there from Officer Drew Lackey just some of what he had to say about the true nature of the criminals and malcontents that the history books are now trying to portray as our true heroes. Well, for my money, give me men like Davy Crockett and Robert E. Lee and Patrick Henry any day of the week. But thank you, Officer Drew Lackey, for appearing with us. And check him out in the archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org, everyone. While you're there, if you support our work, don't forget to make a donation online that'll help keep us going for another 5 years. You can join up for the email list. We'd love to hear from you. I've got another great live show next week. We'll be joined by director Merlin Miller and documentarian filmmaker Craig Boddicker in tandem as we tackle the mainstream media. Remember to live life the way we do, folks, without retreat, surrender, or apology. We love you, everyone. Good night and God bless.
To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.